The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. It's me, and you, and JC, and Taylor. Hey there.
Hello.
We're all here.
Indeed we are.
We are. Well, nothing new or exciting this week, eh?
Nothing at all, right?
Nope. Nope. Everything's fine. Everything's great. It's, today as we record, however... is a day of jubilee and celebration.
Mm-hmm.
A day in 1983 where someone was liberated from a prison and set loose upon the world. It is my fiance's birthday.
Yeah.
So we had a little party for the future missus last night in which mm-hmm. Your sneaky James Bond type sneakeroo guy. Boy, I really nailed the landing on that one, didn't I?
That was really good.
No, I dragged her to the front of the room at her party. I turned her around. I kept trying to get behind her. She kept turning around and looking at me, and it's turning her back. Do you remember this? Yep. And I'm like, I need you to just look away from me for a minute, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ. I need you to turn around and be surprised to find me on my knee, as opposed to watching how slow and long it takes for me to get down on the knee.
Your knee was a little surprised you were down on it.
My knee was unhappy.
I was surprised none of us heard little cracks.
It's just because you were singing, because they made them. It's like I was saying earlier, my knees bend. It sounds like a ratchet. Mm-hmm. So I did. I asked Tiffany a very specific question last night, a very pointed question as to whether or not she still likes to gamble. She said, yes, she does still like to gamble.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's willing to throw the dice.
She's willing. It's dice, baby.
Third time's the charm.
There you go. I mean, I wouldn't have brought that up,
went there.
That's all right. You know,
I'm just aware. I'm just being aware.
Nobody else needed to be. So, yeah. As far as anybody should know, I'm her first.
That's right.
I got a snort on that one is what I got. Anyway, so yeah, that's the big change in my life. Everything else remains pretty much on fire. I'm the dog in the cafe. This is fun.
Yeah.
This is great. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's been a rough few days. My youngest moved out of the house. My ex said that, if he didn't take the dog was going to get put down. So we have been in a mad scramble for the last couple of weeks trying to figure out what to do and where to go with the dog. And then just out of fucking nowhere, Taylor just saved the goddamn day yesterday.
Because that's what heroes do.
That is what heroes do.
I would have taken him had I known earlier.
I don't know why it never occurred to me. Part of me was like, well, she just lost her dog, so I'm not going to try and throw another senior dog at her.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
It does. It does. But you saved the day. So in the middle of the joyous jubilee, you know, mm-hmm. of me tricking Tiffany into spending the rest of her life with me.
Sucker.
I'm a weepy mess for like a half an hour at the bar because I'm just so fucking relieved, because up to that I'd spent 2 days as a weepy mess because I was just a weepy mess because I couldn't figure out what the fuck to do with this dog because I love him so much. But no, it's very complicated what's going to happen over the next few weeks. But Taylor's a fucking hero.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I owe you forever. More than I did before. Stop. Now it's like a double owe you.
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's that. I'm going to accelerate through this show because we're having another party, a birthday party this evening that we got to get to. So I'm not going to tell you what I'm talking about, but I'll tell you that the invite list is pretty small, as it were. And that's enough for this show. Anyway, let's go through some news, shall we?
Yeah.
Texas Republicans all got together and decided that there was something they didn't want to say. And what it is they didn't want to say was that Nazis and anti-Semites and hanging out with them is bad. During a meeting of the Texas GOP's executive committee over the weekend, party leaders said the language was too vague. Too vague, they said. Nazis and anti-Semites... Oh, that's broad, folks. That's
what we got to be more specific. I mean, can I hang out with my Jewish hating neighbor? I mean, come on.
I think it's more like, does this mean I can't go to family parties anymore? I mean, it is Texas.
That really is. That's what it comes down to. Too vague.
If we sign this, I can't hang out with anybody I know, anybody I could know, anybody I have known, or anybody I'm related to.
Mm.
Jesus Christ. Well.
I just see a guy. Are we talking about official groups or family? Yeah.
So the anti-Nazi language, which was watered down before its ultimate rejection for being watered down, stated, be it further resolved that the Republican Party of Texas have no association whatsoever with any individual or organization that is known to espouse anti-Semitism, pro-Nazi sympathies, or Holocaust denial. And Republicans in Texas went, yeah, too vague. I don't know. What does that even mean?
I have no idea what pro-Nazi sympathies are. Sympathetic. I've never done it in my life.
The face looking back in the mirror, dummy.
Yes.
Yep. The language was proposed as part of a larger resolution affirming the party's commitment to combating anti-Semitism, which they ultimately failed to do. Yep.
That's embarrassing.
Ironic that this is also the party that wants to stand with Israel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, I don't get you people. I really don't understand.
Yeah. The larger resolution ultimately passed unanimously Saturday during this meeting of the executive committee, but only after the language about associating with neo-Nazis, Holocaust deniers, and anti-Semites was removed.
Huh. You know?
Good. Now I'm going to Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's the other way around. Good. My niece can come to Christmas.
That would help me.
She's not going to, but she might want to come now.
She could. Doubt it. In further Republican news, a California poultry supplier was caught illegally employing children. And no. It was stealing their wages.
So slaves.
Yep. Yeah, California poultry supplier agreed to pay nearly $3.8 million to settle allegations that it endangered child workers and committed wage theft while processing chickens for major U.S. supermarkets. The agency announced the settlement with Exclusive Poultry Inc. on Monday, accusing the company of behaving, quote, recklessly by violating child labor laws, stealing wages, and firing workers who cooperated with the investigators. Officials said that Exclusive Poultry, which is based in La Puente, employed kids as young as 14 to, quote, debone poultry using sharp knives, operate power-driven lifts to move pallets.
Ew.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want a 14-year-old driving a fucking forklift.
So you remember those kids who their parents basically just sent them over the border?
Yeah.
Back in, 10 years ago or so, or even a few years ago. Or the ones that Trump separated them from their families and they never got returned to their families.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
These are those kids. These are the kids that have gotten this job and are being robbed by their employer. Yeah.
Yep. Seema Nanda, Labor Department Solicitor General, urged workers in a statement to come forward if their employees didn't pay them what they were owed. The quote, the pull quote is, U.S. regulators have said that they're dealing with a rise in child labor cases as migrant children who fled Latin America wind up in slaughterhouses and other potentially dangerous workplaces.
Yep.
Employers who violate wage law and their downstream distributors and customers should be on notice that we will use all the tools at our disposal to protect workers, regardless of age or immigration status. Well, way to go, Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that works out for me. Where else are we? Oh, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America, is committing a felony.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's decided that he's going to alter the video and blur out the faces of people who stormed the Capitol on January 6th so that they won't face retribution, which is, and I checked with a couple of lawyers we're friends with, you know, that is after the fact is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He is guilty of obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Look, it's like Trump for years would stand up in front of everybody and admit to crime.
Yes.
Yeah. Over and over again.
And everybody's like, we just can't get him. Just can't get him.
Yeah. We just can't get him on anything.
We're trying to get him. And now Mike Johnson's out there aiding and abetting felonies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Way to go, party of tough on crime.
Yeah. The party of law and order.
Apparently.
And yet none of them actually practice
law and or order.
Yeah, neither.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking nutty. I don't know, man. Blurring faces in order to stop the DOG from prosecuting people. One might imagine that altering real-time video of the January 6th insurrection in order to deter the DOJ from bringing charges against insurrectionists in the building might fit the definition, as is a crime committed against our democracy in the United States Constitution. That's not something the Speaker of the House should do, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
After all, every one of these Republicans took an oath to, quote, support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and bear truth,
mm-hmm.
true faith, on the other hand, and allegiance to the same.
I want to know exactly how he's going to manage this, because the DOJ already has all the footage.
Oh, I know. He was just throwing red meat to the base. He's just full of
shit. Yeah, I mean, he's over here going, I'm going to commit obstruction of justice. It's like, they have the footage, dummy. Have it all. And by dummy, I mean the person who believes what he's fucking saying.
Well, he has to dangle the keys because he helped the Democrats pass the funding.
Yep.
So he's trying to like be like, but look at this. Look at this shiny little thing over here.
Yeah. Look at what this hand's doing.
Just ignore the other part.
Yep. The one that's stroking off Democrats because he needs to get something done.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I can't imagine that a Mike Johnson hand job is not the dullest, driest, most boring thing ever.
Mm. It chafes, I imagine.
Or,
it chafes
bad. Yeah, or it triggers some inner part of him he's hidden from himself low these many decades, and you end up getting the most vigorous, dry, and awkward hand job of your life. That's what I'm saying. They're going to catch him with a dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, that is a bad Speaker of the House. Bad Speaker. Bad.
Bad Speaker.
Hey, speaking of bad, Tommy Tuberville dropped his hold on most military promotions, everything under a 3-star, which means that, and everybody's like, yay, look at this, look what he did, he finally caved, we beat him. No, you didn't. All of our services need new 4-stars running the show, and we can't have them because he's still holding those promotions hostage.
Mm-hmm.
This is the asshole who's never served a day in fucking uniform outside of one that had to do with football.
Yep.
Who says, I'm more military than anybody. At which point, I don't know if you guys recall this story.
I remember.
Someone else on the committee was like, well, I actually served in the military and did 3 combat tours. So who the fuck are you, Tommy fucking Tuberville? You fucking hump you. I'm pretty sure it was the subtext of that.
Yeah, that was it.
Congressional testimony.
Yeah.
Tommy Tuberville.
That was just Tammy, the direct quote of Tammy Duckworth.
No, it wasn't Duckworth. It was one of the other ones.
Oh, it was one of the other ones?
Yeah. No, Tammy Duckworth telling you you're a piece of shit, that carries some very special meaning right there.
Yeah, right, you know, there. Yep.
Everybody else is like, oh, on my two legs, I stand to accuse you of being an asshole, where she's over there going, hey, guess what? When I got blown up in my helicopter serving in uniform, I thought you were an asshole, and I still do. Coach Tubbyville.
That's right.
What was weird, though, is I was watching MSNBC, and it was like three or four people were on, including Claire McCaskill, former senator, and they kept calling him Coach. And I'm like, do you live where he was a coach? Are you guys, do you live in Alabama? Is this an honorific that means more than, I don't know, senator? Do you sports people, no matter how much I'm into football now, that'd be European football.
Yes.
No matter how much I like soccer, whatever, I still don't get it. I still don't get sports culture. Who the fuck calls this piece of shit coach? You know, it lends him a degree of accountability now that I don't think he deserves.
He probably just like had people, it's like, oh yeah, people call me coach. And then he introduced himself, oh yeah, my name's Tommy, but people call me coach. And then they just start calling him coach.
It can be a term of endearment for a piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, bullshit. He's from Alabama. Senator's got to be, you know, down there and drawl at you. Good to see you, Senator. No matter what it is he does now, as opposed to coach. Hi, coach. Hey, coach, you want to tell me how to run, coach? Life's like a box of chocolates, coach. All right. That's it for the first chunk. Let's take a little break. When we come back, I got some random news.
Love it.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com/defenmedia.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Norman Lear, iconic TV sitcom and movie producer, dead at 101. Famed television producer Norman Lear, whose wildly successful TV sitcoms, including All in the Family and The Jeffersons, fused comedy with trenchant social commentary, dominated the network ratings in the 70s, died Tuesday at his home in Los Angeles, his family announced. He was 101 years old. The quote we get from his family is, Norman lived a life of curiosity, tenacity, and empathy. He deeply loved our country and spent a lifetime helping to preserve its founding ideals of justice and equality for all. He began his career in the earliest days of live television and discovered a passion for writing about real American lives, not a glossy ideal. At first, his ideas were met with closed doors and misunderstanding. However, he stuck to his conviction and the foolishness of the human condition and made great television, and eventually he was heard. So it's important to note, I believe, from a lifetime of accomplishment in his field, how cool Norman Lear was. Mm-hmm. But People for the American Way is the organization that Norman Lear both founded and championed for decades. And so to read I'm going to be reading a bunch of stuff from People for the American Way real quick, but this is a tribute to our founder, Norman Lear. People for the American Way is mourning the death of its founder, Norman Lear, who remained an active board member until his death, December 5th, 2023. He died at home surrounded by loved ones at the age of 101. Norman loved this country and he loved defending its ideals. We will honor Norman by carrying on the work to which he dedicated so much of his life. We are honored that Lear designated People for the American Way to receive contributions in his honor. Norman Lear founded People for the American Way in 1981 to counter the divisive rhetoric and authoritarian agenda being spread by leaders of the emerging religious right political movement. Recruiting like-minded friends and colleagues, including the late Representative Barbara Jordan and other civic, religious, civil rights, and business leaders, Norman Lear fought tirelessly for the progressive values he believed defined the American way. For decades, he participated in campaigns for voting rights, LGBTQ equality, freedom to learn, and more. He was a legendary television film producer behind visionary shows. His shows weren't just popular. They fostered countless conversations about important social issues, including racism, LGBTQ rights, and abortion. That was Maud. That was, I mean, that, I remember what a stink that caused in our house. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was just a wee tot back then. Maud.
Maud.
Lear was a World War II veteran who dropped out of college to fight fascism and considered himself an unabashedly patriotic American. I am a patriot, he wrote in a Washington Post op-ed, posted on his 99th birthday, and I will not surrender that word to those who play to our worst impulses rather than our highest ideals. He was fond of saying, mm-hmm. There's not a single day that I don't pick up the newspaper and think, thank God we have people for the American way. He was deeply troubled about the threat posed by authoritarianism, writing in a New York Times op-ed published on his 100th birthday, to be honest, I'm a bit worried that I may be in better shape than our democracy is, he said, at 100 years old.
That was really good. Mm-hmm.
That was very good.
Yep.
Yep. Pushing back on bigotry, resisting voter suppression, exposing extremism, making our community safer. These are not things I can do decisively on my own. But through People for the American Way, I partner with fellow Americans to defend our freedom wherever and whenever it is at risk. This is a significant loss, you know, not just for entertainment, which is where I would normally hit this from, because we talked about it tomorrow on the comic book show.
Yes.
And so the reason that I'm doing it here as well is because of the political water this dude carried for so many years. Now, somebody else talk so I can take a drink of water.
No, that's absolutely true. Going back and looking at his early television work, what he did with, like, All in the Family was completely groundbreaking because he exposed bigotry in a comedy setting. And even if Archie Bunker didn't learn his lesson by the end of the episode, we all, as the American people, had learned the lesson. And he did it in such a subtle way that people tuned in week after week. It was the number one show for quite a while and had multiple spinoffs, including the Jeffersons and Maude. And every one of these were continued the message. He has always continued the message. And to turn that message around and work it into a political organization was
basically because of the Reagan administration.
It always comes back to Reagan.
Reagan ruined everything.
He really did.
Yep. You know, and I mean, not to jump off the topic before I come back and close off Norman Lear, but that video of Reagan saying Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit has popped up again, where he's like, Social Security is completely funded by the payroll tax. And if you took the money away, you know, from that, it doesn't go back to the general fund. It goes back into the Social Security fund. So when you make things smaller and you fuck people over, you're not messing with the deficit at all. Pretty sure I'm paraphrasing there. But among the many honors Lear received, recognizing his contributions to American cultural and civic life, were the National Medal of Arts, Kennedy Center Honors, 5 Emmys, 2 Peabody Awards. He was an inaugural inductee in the Television Academy Hall of Fame. Quote, Our loss is also our country's loss, said Cookie Parker. What an unfortunate name. Chair of the Affiliated People for the American Way Foundation. Now his work is our work and the work of the young progressive leaders who gave Norman hope for America's future. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, buddy. Rest in power.
That's right.
You know? California has seen an explosion in spawning salmon. Let me rephrase that. In the salmon population.
Oh, there you go.
As opposed to just fish leaving effluent all over the goddamn river. Exploding salmon. Anyway, in San Jose, after 10 years of habitat cleanup. Wait, you mean they got rid of the pollution and all the garbage and the fish came back?
Weird.
I know. It's a nitpicky thing that I'm going through right now where I'm trying to explain the difference between, and this is a religious one, people having dominion over everything the eye can see and people having stewardship over everything that the eye can see. And I, when I was religious and when I talk to religious people now, I've always swung more towards the stewardship where we take care of what we have as opposed to, I can fuck it up if I want. Jesus said so.
Yeah.
But the South Bay Clean Creeks Coalition, a nonprofit responsible for the salmon's return, removed 1.3 million pounds of trash from the creeks, from bottles and tires to cars and mattresses. Researchers are now studying the animals and tracking their origin, hoping to answer whether they're native returners or hatchery strays. Mm. But anyway, that's pretty fucking cool. And if you're somebody who likes the taste of salmon... I am not. I find it a greasy piece of fish. Then this is great news for you. For those of you that don't like extinction, this is great news for you. That's me, by the way, because like I said, it's a greasy fucking piece of fish. I don't much care for salmon.
No, I do enjoy. I've learned to enjoy salmon. Yeah.
I would eat fish.
If I caught a salmon while I was camping, much like drinking black coffees for camping. That's just how I am. Mm-hmm. If I'm at home, why would I drink it like I'm roughing it? I'm not sleeping on the floor. You know, I want a little cream and sugar in there. But if I'm camping, I'm not going to hike all that shit in. I'll drink black coffee and I'll be happy with it. Same with it's the only time I eat fish is if I catch it. You know, or if it is battered and fried and served with double baked potatoes. Mm.
There you go.
Yeah. And dear America. Don't hand me fucking French fries and tell me it's chips, you piece of shit. What the fuck is the matter with you? I mean, we went to an Irish pub last night where somebody got engaged.
Me.
And yes. And I don't know why I did beaker. That
me
doesn't
either.
Make sense to me.
Meep,
meep, meep. But yeah, they had fish and chips and they were proper sized, proper shaped. I do not believe they were double fried.
They were not, although according to my brother-in-law, who has done the tour of the Isles, he will and you know on an LDS mission, he will tell you the shepherd's pie is not a shepherd's pie because it's not made with lamb; it's made with beef. Therefore, it's a cottage pie. And when they say English chips, that's not what they serve you. They usually serve you something that looks like French fries.
Huh.
Yeah,
don't
English
care.
Chips is just something we did here.
As far as I'm concerned, Piccadilly was where the proper English chips come from. Did I mention it's going to get a little barky in here? Hi, let's stop doing that. How? What do you say, buddy? I know.
Oh,
he's just so cute doing it, though. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
So the Texas Attorney General has threatened doctors and hospitals if they follow abortion rulings. Yeah. Texas judge, temporary restraining order, allowing a woman with a lethally abnormal fetus to get an abortion at 20 weeks into her pregnancy. According to her doctors, the woman's health is endangered as well as her future ability to bear more children. The judge also ruled that a doctor should be allowed to perform that abortion without facing penalties. Enter Ken Paxton. Look, when you're in trouble... and your best friends get you out of trouble, that doesn't mean you didn't commit a fucking crime, Ken Paxton. Just because the Republicans in your Republican state looked at your Republican behavior and went, what? Doesn't mean that you're not a piece of shit. But to prove the point that he is, Ken Paxton is throwing a temper tantrum.
Yes.
Yep. He's so mad about this.
He's still under investigation for security fraud. He's still under investigation for corruption. He still faces a bar disciplinary hearing for trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election. He's also impeached by the Texas Republican House of Representatives, although he was acquitted by the Senate. Sounds pretty Trumpy to me, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But apparently Paxton thinks laws are whatever the fuck he wants them to be. Paxton's threatening to prosecute any doctor or hospital that provides emergency abortion. He sent a letter to three Texas hospitals threatening their licenses, criminal prosecution, and civil penalties if they comply with the judge's order. Yes, this is a lawyer saying that the judge is incorrect. If this isn't the height of Republican hubris, I don't know what is. So, yeah, fuck Texas. Jesus, ugh.
Yeah.
Gross. So icky. Don't much care for it. But with that said, let's take a little break. When we get back, I got more random news on the other side, fam.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Danny Lane, David McKnight, and Norman Lear.
That man was 100 years old and still working, you guys.
Can a kissing scene in a graphic novel lead to porn addiction?
That's not where I got my porn addiction.
In moving pictures, Disney's given up and announced delays. Doctor Who got more than 100 complaints!
More than 100?
More than 100?
And who got renewed for new seasons this year?
Was it me?
Comics. Marvel canceled an Avengers book. A Spider-Man title is hitting its 300th. Who's the next creator to move entirely over to Dark Horse Comics?
Is it me?
We review Daredevil Black Armor, Kill Your Darlings, and Batman Santa Claus Silent Night number 1.
That's going to come out every week?
All that and quit chucking things at Florence Pugh!
She's an international treasure!
Face Front, True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. And new episodes are available on Tuesdays on all the surviving podcast platforms.
Okay, something new. I don't know how to respond to that. Where does my dad joke go? Anyway, what do you call a sleeping dinosaur?
A what?
A dino snore.
Yeah.
Well, I am now.
There
but,
you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to with Social Security, though, is it's... They did, like you said... Sir.
They've been borrowing from it.
Yep.
They borrow from it to fund their little government projects or their military actions.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they're the thing is the way they reformed Social Security in the 80s was that they could do that providing that it gets paid back. But then these chuckleheads passed a bill that basically cut all the money, incoming money. You know, when they reformed the tax code, and now they don't get as much money in, and so now they're like, well, it's all going to affect the deficit. Yeah, because you need to pay this back. It's the law. You have to pay it back. You bitching about it doesn't mean you still don't have to pay it back. If I loaned you money for my 401k because you were in trouble and you used it, I would still expect you to pay it back before I retire so I can have it for my retirement. Not that I have any kind of 401k that I could ever help anyone. You know, well, you need $5 for a coffee? Here's for my 401k.
Yeah, I think I ended up somehow with a 402k. No, really, it was. I was with Salt Lake City Corp.
Mm-hmm.
I was working for the mayor's office and honestly thought I was filling out the paperwork for a 401k. And when I was going through some shit and I went to cash that back in, I was informed that, no, I do not have a 401k. I have a subset of a 401k that's a blah, 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 blah. And I can only use it to reimburse myself for medical bills after I turn 65.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah, it's about $500.
Okay.
And over, what has it been now since I worked for Salt Lake City, since I worked for the mayor's office? Like 20 years? 15 years? 16 years?
It was before we started the show, so.
It was, yeah, it was 2008. I was there 2007 to 2008. And, yeah, it has changed about 40 cents since then.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It goes down, but when it goes up, it crawls up. And I can't use it, except for, what's $500 going to get me when I'm old enough to use it? That's like a copay by the time I'm old enough to use it.
Exactly.
You know? 15 years from now, it'll be like, do you have your $500 copay? I have a coupon from my 402k. Oh, I'm sorry, we don't take these anymore.
Yeah, we don't accept that as
The government
anymore.
Spent that putting people in jail for getting abortions. Yeah. Sorry, pal.
Yes.
You guys made me remember that I have a check from my 401k at my last job to give to my financial advisor.
Oh,
it's just been
go.
Sitting on my fridge for like a month.
Mine is financial advisor is bank account.
My financial advisor is bill collectors.
Yeah, no shit. Boy, they really want to give me advice lately. Yep. They keep calling and calling and calling, and I'm like, I keep hitting the red button. Why do you guys keep calling back? I don't get it. Can't you tell? I don't want to talk to you. I had one call me at work. Is this Jeffrey? I said, no, I don't answer that name, and I hung up. Don't call me at work. What the fuck's the matter with you? Former President Donald Trump's lawyers asked U.S. District Judge Aline Cannon to grant them access to a Justice Department filing on classified details in the case of Special Counsel Jack Smith wants removed from discovery proceedings. Quote, this is a long one. Given the security clearances that have been extended to President Trump and counsel, the volume of classified discovery produced to date, there is no case-specific reasoning for ex parte proceedings. Trump's lawyers wrote in a filing. They used some big-ass words for Trump lawyers.
They used thesaurus.
The court, I know. They used the AI, some lawyer AI.
It's lawyer AI. It needs to make them sound smarter than they are.
Yeah, it's like Sue GPT. The court should be skeptical of boilerplate invocations of vague national security concerns and citations to factually distinguishable cases by the special counsel's office, particularly basically what they're saying. I'm sorry. I can't read all this lawyerese.
Basically what ChatGPT is saying here.
It's basically, it's like, hey, you guys keep saying we can't talk about secret shit on social media. We think that's wrong. And the court's like, even this lady, Cannon, is like, yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. Mm-hmm. But basically what they've done is they've set it up in such a way that depending on her response, Jack Smith can push to demand Cannon's recusal.
Yep.
Recusal. It's a C. It wants to be a QU.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then in other news, Trump called DeSantis a bobblehead and Chris Christie a sick puppy.
A bobblehead.
A bobblehead. I mean, he is.
A bobblehead.
Funny.
I love it.
It really is. There was something. What was it? I think Daily Show, or maybe it was Jimmy Kimmel, was like, I didn't believe in lizard people until I saw this. And then they basically did a montage of all of the candidates at the Republican debate going, dup, 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 dup. And they were doing it a lot. And he's like, yep, lizard people.
Lizard people.
Speaking of lizard people, Trump's fake electors buckled in Wisconsin, and more of them were charged in Nevada. Nevada charged 6 Republican fake electors in connection with a scheme to overturn Donald Trump's 2020 election loss to President Joe Biden. while 10 false electors reached a legal settlement in Wisconsin that affirmed the Democrats' victory. Wednesday's actions marked the largest legal developments in the 2020 plan to persuade Republican-controlled legislatures in election battleground states to name their own Trump-friendly electors. The indictments made Nevada the 3rd state behind Michigan and Georgia to bring charges against Republicans who served as faked electors in 2020. In Wisconsin's civil lawsuit, the Republican electors admitted the effort to overturn election results and acknowledged Biden's victory as legitimate. That would be President Joseph Ronsonette Biden of the United States of America. So I wish you guys could see this. Someday I'll have video working, and you can watch us.
Salute the president.
Look, people don't know, and it's. I understand. I'm not running around with Biden flags. I don't own a Biden T-shirt. There's no Biden bumper sticker on my car. I don't have a Biden air freshener. I don't have Biden socks. I do want the Dark Brandon coffee cup, but it's only 11 ounces, and it's like, what am I going to do? Shoot shots? You know,
that's just for your espresso shots.
My smallest coffee cup is 28 ounces.
Painting of Joe Biden eating an ice cream cone.
I do love it, though. Glorious. Look at him go. Look at him eat that ice cream cone. I love you, Joe. I just do. I like anybody that's just like, those documents were locked up in the garage with the Corvette I love more than any human being on the planet. They're fine. And I'm like, you know what? They probably are fine. If I had that Corvette, that'd be locked the fuck up.
Anything in the glove box
would live there forever, safe and dusty.
Yep.
Because everyone
super
knows
alarmed.
I don't fit in a 68 Corvette. No, I do not. Yeah, that was my whine yesterday. We were watching Ted Lasso, and there's a scene with an Aston Martin. Because it's soccer players, so there's all these cool-ass cars, but this Aston Martin, and I'm just like, I want that car more than anything else, even though I know I wouldn't be able to fit in it. You'd have to slide the seat all the way forward and lean it most of the way back, and I'd still be all crunched up on the goddamn pedals, but at least my head could get in the car. Because I had an Alfa Romeo once. This is me, by the way, stretching for a little bit of time, because we are way short.
That's okay.
I'm in a hurry. I got business this afternoon.
Important vital business.
Yeah, so I had this little Alfa Romeo. Me and an ex-girlfriend's dad and I were on a motorcycle ride somewhere, and there was a garage sale or a yard sale just out in the fucking sticks in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We pull over, and we're just kind of looking through some stuff. I'm looking at comic book-related things, and he's looking at whatever the fuck he looked at. And we both noticed a car-shaped thing underneath a big tree covered in a tarp. On top of the tarp was wood to hold the tarp still. And you could see the bottom grin of two flat tires sticking out the side. And we're both like, hey, what's that? She's like, oh, that's my son's car. He perished in Vietnam in 1970. And it's just been sitting there ever since. And I said, what is it? Is it for sale? And she's like, oh, you know, if you guys want it, you can just take it. And we're like, deal.
What?
So we go over and we start digging out all these boxes and all this lumber, and we get it all off the car, and we whip the tarp off, and it's a 1968 Alfa Romeo Spider.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, can we really buy this? And she's like, you guys just take it. And we're like, here's some money. Take my money. I can't take this car for free. So we ended up giving her like $200. That's all the cash we had on us. Pulled the tires, ran them back two at a time on the motorcycles, you know, to a gas station to get them repatched, pumped up, because we weren't going to buy new tires right away.
Yeah.
Got back, emptied out the fuel, put in a little bit of fuel, jumped up on the battery, ended up getting a new battery. It ran hard, but it ran. We got it back to Paul's house, tore out the fuel pump, put in a new fuel pump, put a new carpet kit in the back, pulled the seats out, had them reupholstered. I sanded and refinished all of the wood dashboard. Mahogany.
Mahogany, you know, dashboard back
in
the day.
Did all of that. Yeah, and then spent about 100 hours with a heat lamp and a bucket after bucket of dry ice getting hail damage off the hood and the trunk.
Oh.
We replaced the roof because that had rotted through because it was a convertible because it's a Spider. Mm-hmm. And after that, the thing ran like a champ. He was 6'3". I'm 6'4". So as long as the roof was down, we could drive this car. But you had to wear goggles because your head was poking up over the windshield.
The windshield.
And when it started to rain, you'd have to put the roof up, and then you'd drive sideways, you know, with your head bowed over because you didn't fit in it. And we kept it for one summer, basically one Denver monsoon season, which is August through mid-September. Mm-hmm. We bought the thing for $250. We put about $1,600 worth of bits and pieces into it. Ended up turning around. And this is 1992 money. Sold it for $6,800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, it was just beautiful. And it was fun to drive. And it was so peppy and so fast and so small. So small.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want an Alfa Romeo and I just don't fit.
That was the point.
I think it was. And I think that was like a secondary point to a point I've totally lost the thread on.
Something about Joe Biden's Corvette.
Oh yeah, little cars. I don't fit in them, but I still want them. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm more of an F-150 sized fella. I don't much care for the F-150, but I fit in it. That's why I like my Mazda. It's weird. It's got a small car attitude. It's got a supercharged 4-cylinder that I thought was a supercharged 6. It goes so peppy. Mm-hmm. But I fit in it.
They don't mess around with those Mazda motors.
It's
those
weird.
Fucking fantastic. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and the guy was so smug about it, too. We got in it, and I gunned it, because that's what you do when you're test driving a car. And it took off, and I was like, wow, is this a 6-cylinder? And he's like, it's a 4.
Oh, my God.
It's like, yeah, I got you off with my 4-inch penis. But he was proud of it, and by God, so am I right now. So I guess it is what it is. Kevin O'Leary, who's apparently some fancy pants business fella.
He's on Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that where he comes from?
Yeah.
I don't watch
Shark Tank. Yeah, he's on Shark Tank. Yeah.
What I don't need is a bunch of billionaires telling a bunch of, you know, entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Anything at all. Except for Mark Cuban, who I am really coming around on.
This is his last season on Shark Tank, I think.
That's because he's too busy running that fucking pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful guy. And he keeps saying they're going to figure out how to do refrigerated shipping so that he can start helping diabetics more, which I'm really looking forward to. But anyway, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, thank you very much for helping me out again, said no one saw this coming. Says that remote work is now hurting sectors other than real estate and that regional banks are going to fail.
I don't care.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't care.
But yeah, office space has gone from a necessity to a liability in just a few short years, sparking concerns about a collapse in commercial real estate. Don't care. No, it's not coming, entrepreneur Kevin O'Leary said in a recent interview with Larry Kudlow of Fox Business. O'Leary believes the issue will manifest itself in the regional banking sector. Quote, these banks are going to fail because up to 40% of their portfolios are in commercial real estate. My advice, says Jeff, the broke motherfucker who's constantly begging for help, divest. If I had some commercial real estate right now, I'd be selling the fuck out of it, because in another year and 2 years and 3 years, it's going to be worth less and less and less. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? We've had enough of your corporate tyranny, Kevin O'Leary. Mm-hmm. We're just fucking done being under the thumb of dipshits and ne'er-do-wells that just want me there to pay off their investment so that they can turn dividends and continue to buy cool shit that they deny me by underpaying me and telling me I'm just lucky to have a fucking job. Well, Jesus Christ, that happens in retail too. So,
So O'Leary's saying that we switched to a work from home system, which many businesses found to be both an improvement overall. They found their employees were more productive. They had less of an overhead in maintaining the building and having to maintain all that shit for the employees. So therefore, they start dumping their giant fucking incubator spaces where all they had were just, you know, big cube farms for their employees to sit in. They start dumping those so they can just have basically a business where they can have a meeting area for customers. And you just that's how you run it. And nobody saw this as a problem that was going to tank commercial real estate. Yeah. Come on, man. Let's have a little forward. And the thing is that guys of his generation have all been saying, we need to get everybody back to work, get them back in the office. And I'm like, no, you don't. We do so much better when we're working from home.
He should go to an office.
Yep.
Because I doubt he does.
I doubt it. Yeah.
I'll bet he does, and he's got nobody to be mean to, and that's why he wants everybody back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now the banks are going to fail. Nah, not really.
They'll get bailed out.
They'll just open more banks in those locations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, or maybe office space will be fucking affordable for me soon, because I have got to get the office out of this bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I can't bring clients here. What'll they think?
Well, I mean, in the end, what do you need? You need like 3 rooms, right? You need a meeting, a conference room. You need a studio, and you need an office.
That's me.
Yeah.
And you know what? We could do the conference room as the podcast room.
Yeah.
You know? It's just microphones. You just point them up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I bring a client here. They're going to take one look at the bed, and they're going to be like, I can't afford to pay for my commercial. How else could I pay this off? You know? And I'm like, no, life's not a porno. Quit reading Scholastic books. If you want to know what that joke's about, listen to the comic book podcast tomorrow at thecomicbookpodcast.com. Because that was pretty fucking funny. But it's not funny until Tuesday.
Until Tuesday.
It's a joke on Monday. Fine. I'll happily pay you Tuesday for a joke told today.
That's right.
I'm going to finish off this particular show with the following bad news. Sorry, Mariah Carey. 1 in 10 Brits wants All I Want for Christmas Is You banned.
Same.
54-year-old singer is thought to rake in between 2.5 to 3 million in royalties every year from the iconic festive smash hit.
It's ridiculous.
All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's the only part of Love Actually I don't like, except for the way Alan Rickman treats Emma Thompson.
I know!
By banging his hot secretary. You should have given her the necklace. Get out of your secretary, Mr. Alan Rickman. That's Emma Thompson, for Christ's sake. Show her some respect. She's Shakespearean. Mariah Carey may be the queen of Christmas, but no.
Jesus Christ.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't want to tear today.
I have never watched it.
It's really a quite nice little movie.
It's a delightful little movie. We watch it every year for Christmas.
It's not a Hallmark movie. There's some insanely casual nudity in it. Mm-hmm. There's Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead, just tidied up and gorgeous. Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Rowan Atkinson plays an amazing foil. You know, he is an antagonist like nobody's business.
Oh, he's supposed to be the like a guardian angel or something, because there's supposed to be like a third thing where he interferes with yet another, you know.
Oh,
moment. But no, in fact, of all the versions of All I Want for Christmas Is You, the one that's sung on that by the little girl, on Love Actually, that's the one I like.
Of course.
Now that's saying, you know. That's the ugly dog I like. Because I don't care for the song, but I'm like, at least this one's entertaining in this way. Yeah.
Yeah. I think by now we can all put together that I don't much care for Christmas in general. I don't like Christmas music in specific. There was a slight break in that when I was a child and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer came out. And
that
I was like,
a funny song.
Yeah, that's a funny song, which when I hear it now, I just want to scratch my ears off because it's so fucking old and I've heard it so many goddamn times. Christ, I think I have sung it in front of family, to be honest. I've sung in front of grandmothers and they've been dead a while. But yeah, almost a corner... throughout December, Brits visit the pub on an average of 4 times to catch up with pals and enjoy the merry festivities, while over a third of the nation feel that the classic pub is the perfect place for Christmas celebrations.
Agreed.
Almost a quarter view the pub as the most important place for the local community at Christmas.
Yes.
Drinking my way through Christmas is how I have spent many a Christmas. I don't need to do it anymore because... I'm French now. I am affianced. Sacre bleu. Baguette. Camembert.
No, Camembert. No,
that's British. Brie.
Brie.
Hey, by the way, as far as it goes with brie, I'm fine. It is a fancy, tasty little cheese, as long as you take the goo off the outside.
Yes.
Ugh, that rind. And people that are like, oh no, the rind makes the cheese worth eating. No, it doesn't. You're a sick fuck. Get that rind off. Jesus Christ, it tastes like my mother's disappointment.
There you go.
Sour and ever present.
Yeah.
It's a nasty taste in your mouth for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's me from my mother. Anyway, look, we're going to go ahead and call that a show. What I'd appreciate it if you guys would do right now is navigate your browser over to patreon.com/defenmedia, DEFEN media. That's where every week that we record, we drop choice extra content. And if you could tell on the tear I'm on today, today's Patreon is going to be something special. So
that's
join
right.
us over there. Get in while you can now so I can grandfather you guys into stuff for when I do the rearranging next year. But for what it's worth, that's where we're at. That's where the really, really, really fun stuff happens. The stuff I can't say for free. You got to pay me to say this stuff. And let me put it, once you put a quarter in this monkey, it doesn't shut up.
That's right.
So join us over there. Join us tomorrow at thecomicbookpodcast.com for the world's greatest comic book podcast. That's myself.
Yeah.
That's JC. And that's our friend Jocelyn. We had a very enjoyable show that we've recorded and we'll have ready for you guys on Tuesday. In the meantime, we'll see you next week. And for those of you that celebrate, happy Hanukkah. This will drop right in the middle of that. I believe candle number 5 on the day this drops, you know, I wish you well, and I wish you safe. Happy Hanukkah. Festival of Lights. Festival of Lights. It's a weird little holiday that I have even been told by friends of mine of the Jewish persuasion that basically the lights didn't go out.
Yeah.
So we're going to have an 8-day holiday because somebody had a really good wick in their lamp. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was divine intervention. Whatever. Okay. Patreon.com/DFNmedia. Thank you for joining me, JC. Thank you for joining me, Taylor. Thank you for joining me, studio audience. Thank you for joining me. Ozzy is asleep. Okay. That's it. Let's all do what the British lady says. God damn it. I forgot how to end my own show.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon, patreon.com/DFNmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.